helping in the rebuilding. He is the Luton World Federation representative for Haiti there. So he has a contract for 3 years. So keep me in your prayers. You know, I'm always excited when I have to share my my culture and then the history of my country with people. It was the day before yesterday, I shared the history of Haiti, and today I am going to share with you the culture, the religion, and also the beliefs of the Haitian people. I would like for you to be honest with me. My first question would be for you, what have you heard about Vodou? Please be honest, don't worry about it. We are here to learn from me. But before I begin, I am not a scholar in this, but being a Haitian, I know about the culture because it's part of me, the Vodou. And then I will tell you how it is part of me, so you will understand. So by sharing that, you'll get to know me better. I don't pretend to represent 8 million of Haitian, but I think I am entitled to share what I've known, what I know, and then what I've learned about Vodou. So please tell me what you know about Vodou.
Dolls, your pokes, spins it.
Okay.
Zombies.
Okay.
I've heard that it had come over as part of the slave trade as a traditional African religion.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Healing.
What else?
Curses.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, like the when you're at a ritual, like the you're like mounted by the loa.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually studied it a little, just read a couple books because it interests me. But one thing that someone told me that worked in me, they said that 95% of Haitians are Catholic and 100% are Voodoo.
That's a joke about Haiti. That is true. And I'm glad that you brought that already, and we'll go further to that. Yeah, it is true. It is a joke about Haitian, if you heard about it. It's exactly. Now they said it's 80% of the Haitian are Protestants, are Catholic, 10% Protestant, and then 100% of Vodouisa. The Vodouisa is all the people who actually practice the religion, who are Vodouisa. But before I start, I have a video, it was made by the National Geographic, where Vodou, it's called The Birth of Vodou. And before I even start, we're gonna stay away from the spelling of Vodou. We have two different spelling of it. We have the one that has been portrayed by Hollywood. The spelling is V-O-O-D-O-O. And then all the scholar actually wants to stay away from that spelling because it's been portrayed too negatively. There will Haitian culture in the world. So now the spelling is close first to Creole and also to French. So the spelling that we are going to use in this session is V-O-D-O-U. So bear with me. So I'll show you the video about the birth of Vodou. Can I make it bigger? Maybe we can start it over again when we.
What's that?
Yeah.
Are you good?
Azagudu is the third generation Voodoo priest and healer. He treats patients and presides over rituals in a shrine of the earth spirit. Aza sees the benefits of voodoo everywhere.
If people are sick, then we help them, then I'm sure. If some people don't have enough money, we will have voodoo so they will get money.
In the local language, Fa, voodoo means spirit. While practitioners believe that only one true God, they communicate with him through thousands of different spirits and shrines. Even for a priest, it can be dangerous to disobey a spirit's wishes. Years ago, a spirit demanded that Aza's daughter, Asiba, become a medium, a vessel for the deity. But Aza wanted his daughter to get a modern education. At first, he disobeyed the spirit's commands. But over time, Aza realized the spirit was thwarting his plan for his daughter.
She didn't understand what the teacher was saying, and she couldn't hear when the teacher spoke to her. So I consulted the oracle and learned that if she did not become a voodoo worshiper, then she would never find a good path in life.
For his daughter to achieve her potential, Aza has to let her become a medium. This forest harbors the earth spirit, Sakpata. Here is where Asiba's journey begins.
It was our grandfathers who worshipped voodoo and passed it on to us. Now our daughter wants to worship voodoo. Supreme God, leave the rest up to you.
Suddenly, the spirit claims Asiba's body, overcoming her. These people believe the spirit has actually killed Asiba. Now in the grip of spirits of the dead, the girl's body received gentle care, given her the hope that, in time, the earth spirit will return to life. Asiba will lie here for 3 days, without food or water. Aza hopes to see Asiba reborn, but he knows her fate is up to the spirit. 3 days later, the spirits of the dead still control Asiba's body. Her father, Aza, hopes they are about to give his daughter back.
The corpse of the luminary is still inside. Now we want to open the door and bring her from here in front of the community.
A spray of cornmeal rids the path of evil. To signal passage from the world of the dead to the world of the spirit, the body must come feet first into the village. Open palms invoke the spirit, inviting it to return. In voodoo, contact with the chicken purifies the body, preparing it for rebirth. Still, Asiba seems lifeless. A priestess calls on the spirits to release their hold on her body. Finally, a muted cry. This display of spirit power overwhelms worshippers. A series of ceremonies purifies Asiba's physical self. With his daughter revived and reborn, Aza feels enormous relief.
Now that my daughter is resurrected, I can relax. My body is relaxed. She woke up from the world of the dead, and now the spirit is in her. I am happy now. I am very happy now, because my daughter is following the ancestors' tradition.
Asiba still needs years of training, but in time, she will take her place as a spirit medium.
Did that scare you? Did the video scare you?
Yeah,
a little bit.
A little bit? And which way?
I was afraid she wasn't going to come back to life.
I had the same reaction also when I was watching it. Yeah. So, I have a PowerPoint so where I can go deeper in the Haitian voodoo. And then why I show you this video is along what I'm going to say with you so you will understand where the Haitian voodoo actually came from. Because we... in terms of voodoo, we have a lot of bond with Benin. And that's why voodoo in Benin and the language of Fon in Benin mean voodoo means spirit. Let me turn on the light a little bit. Thank you. Because we have, at the beginning of our history, the island of Haiti, that's what Christopher Columbus actually baptized Hispaniola, was inhabited by Indians, Taino Indians.
There's no sound with the PowerPoint exploding.
No, there's a sound with the PowerPoint, so I don't need it. Voila. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. We talk about at the beginning, before the video, we talk about myth and reality, what you've heard about voodoo. And this slide we're gonna show you what is myth in the voodoo religion and what is reality. So we're gonna have myth versus reality. Don't you like that one? Reality for this one is not so much. The idea of voodoo doll was popularized in early 20th century Hollywood fiction, but you will find few ill omen pincushions lying around the house of a real voodoo priestess. So what is myth again? It is a separate religion, incompatible with strict Christian theology. Many practitioners of all believers of voodoo are also ordained Roman Catholics, especially in Haiti. You know, 100% of Haitian are Catholic, where religion is omnipresent. Catholic saints play a key role in voodoo mythology. Another one, voodoo. I heard only one person said something about zombie. I always got that question whenever somebody asked me, where are you from? I said, I'm from Haiti. They said, oh, you know a lot about zombie. The reality is all the practices surrounding death, the afterlife and ancestors are a big deal in voodoo theology. It's not more zombie-centric than the traditional roots of Christianity's All Hallows Eve. Again, another myth. It is polytheistic. I think you heard that. I don't know if you heard that in the video at the beginning when the narrator actually says that, you know, we have voodoo, we believe in one God, but there's a spirit between that, what we call the Loa also. Not really the reality. According to voodoo tradition, there's only one supreme deity. But practitioners communicate with God through multiple spirits that act as intermediaries. The spirit, we also call them Loa. That's a joke that somebody already said, that 90% of the country inhabitants are practicing Catholic and 10% practice the Protestant faith and 100% practice Voodoo. So it is true, but it is not because we need, like, no. It is not because Haitians were evil or anything like that. It's because our history. So I'm going to go through the history for you so you can understand me better and Haiti better. So what happened? Wendy Allen, before Christopher Columbus actually landed in Haiti by way of San Salvador, December 5th, 1492. As I said earlier, we had only Taino Indians in the island, and they were very gentle. They were very happy people. And they had a very calming life. And so when Christopher Columbus came, he went to a part of Haiti called Mall Saint Nicolas. Mall Saint Nicolas is right across from Cuba. That's why it's what we call a little store history in Haiti. In 1991, the deal that the United States had with Aristide for him to come back in Haiti, it was they're going to take Mall Saint Nicolas because they want to control Cuba, and then they will bring Aristide back. But Aristide disappointed them, so it didn't happen. So Mall Saint Nicolas is right across Cuba. If you stay on the Mall Saint Nicolas, you can see everything that is happening in Cuba. And in the light and everything. So this is where Christopher Columbus actually landed. And then as soon as he got there, he brought with him a big cross, and then he put the cross on the ground. And then if you go in Haiti, you go to Mall Saint Nicolas, the cross is still there. So he came with the idea first, looking for spice, and also to evangelize whoever lived in the island. It's happening in December 5th. So the country for him, I don't know, maybe because he was lost, the country actually reminded him of Spain. Maybe at that time it was a landscape and anything else. And then he actually baptized the island Hispaniola. Hispaniola in his language means little Spain. So that's mean, you know, if you go somewhere, you found out that there's a similarity with where you're from, that's when you're not gonna go, you're not gonna leave it, because you already feel you are at home. So that's what happened with him. So with his arrival is the extermination of the Indians. Why? When he came to the island, you know, he came by the way of sea with three ships that are called La Nina, La Pinta, and La Santa Maria. So when he came there, Indian thought that he was God because it's two different skin color, and then they actually welcomed him with gold. And he was so happy when he realized that there's a lot of gold in the island. So to extract the gold from the ground, he didn't have any other means of doing this. He actually made the Indian work in the mine. And then because the Indians were not used to work so hard, and because most of the people who came with him from Spain were, they brought with them the yellow fever. So most of the Indians died with yellow fever, and then the other part of the Indians died because of hard labor. So what happened now? They don't have anybody to extract the gold in the mine anymore, because the Spanish will not do it. So now they are looking for laborers to do it. And then at that time, they were started the slave trade in the world. And it was everywhere. We all know the story about it. So now the first group of African slaves who came to the island, it was in 1512. That's been 20 years after Columbus' first trip. And then all those people, actually all the African, came with their, you know, culture, the language. And then most of them were from different tribes also. Some of them were queens, some of them were princess, some of them were kings. They came, and then for Haiti, they came throughout West Africa also. And they speak different languages, they have different culture. And then, you know, wherever you go, I know American will do that, and myself as Asian, I do it too, because you tasted my food last week. So I bring with me my culture. In my in my tradition also. So what happened when all the African people came to the island? But at the same time, they were there. The Spanish people were there. The French actually came too. The French came and then they studied in the not far from Mont Saint Nicolas actually, that the island called Île de la Tortue. Island of Turtle Island, and then the first people actually went there were what they called Buccaneers. The Buccaneers was there, so there was a kind of overlapping with the Spanish and the French people also. And what the Spanish did, they brought with them their religion, and then you know wherever at that time the Spanish were, the missionary and the priest actually followed them. So in the island, in 1512, we had a lot of Catholic priests and a lot of missionaries also in the island. Because the idea is, with the African people, is to evangelize them. So by 1511, Pope Julian II formed 3 bishoprics on the island. You know, just to tell you how religion was omnipresent in Haiti at this time. And then we had a numerous congregation were invited to send missionary also to the island. And also, again, the idea is to evangelize the African. But let's picture that. You come to a country with your tradition, with your religion. So the first thing that you want to do is to practice your religion. But when you get there, they said, no, you cannot do it. You have to practice our religion. First of all, you don't speak the language of them. The people want to evangelize you. You don't understand anything about their religion, but they still want you to do it. But in the meantime, there was a problem of power between the French and the Spanish. There was a war in Europe, and they were fighting for territory. You know, between them, you know, 2 big countries having a fight, they decided, okay, no problem. There's a solution. We can work that out. So the Spanish said, okay, I need one part of the island, and then you can take the French. You can take the other part of the island. So in Europe, they decided the French will take the western part of the island, which is Haiti now, and then the Spanish will take the other part of the island. So they divided the island in 2. French stay in Haiti. That's at the time the French called the country Haiti, Haiti, and the Spanish called the other part Dominican Republic. This is Haiti, and then this is Dominican Republic. And I think there is something that I can show you here. I can use this. Okay, here, you see this. This little red thing, this is exactly where Christopher Columbus actually came. And then Cuba, this is Cuba here. So you see, being here, you can see what is happening in Cuba. And then this is Turtle Island, where the French were. So when they decided they're going to divide the island, so they divide the island in 2 parts. So this is Haiti, and this is Dominican Republic. And then Port-au-Prince is right there. Mm-hmm. before that, when the Spanish actually want to impose the Catholic religion to the Africans, it was hard for them, for the African to be evangelized, actually. And what they would do, they would practice their religion in secret, in the secrecy that sometimes, which is, it's still happening in Haiti, with some people in some places in Haiti still practice voodoo in a secret. Because, first of all, we always think that the masters didn't want them to practice it. And then that's why they come with what they call the code noir, the black code, for the African. Because the masters didn't understand what was going on in what they were doing. So they forbid them to practice their religion. So they will do it in secrecy. So with the code noir, they decided they are not allowed to practice the religion. They are not allowed first to gather for anything such as baptism, funeral, and first communion. So they were considered with the code noir. It was very that the worst thing that ever happened to the African in Haiti. They were considered like an object. They were nothing. They were not supposed to talk to the master back, because if you're an object, you cannot talk. So you just do what you were told to do. That's what happened with the code noir. It's cruel. It has more to it that I don't want to go there, because I want to stay in the voodoo part of it. So to show you what happened with Catholicism and Haiti and the slave and voodoo, when the slave actually brought voodoo in Haiti with them. So with all that, the myth and reality, in reality, what is voodoo? How do we understand voodoo is? First of all, what people, I think sometimes it's hard for people to believe that first of all, voodoo is a religion. And voodoo is practiced by nearly 6 million Haitians, and whose lives are shaped by the beliefs and practices of a complex religion with a rich historical tradition. Voodoo is expression of life, of people's longing for meaning and purpose in their life. Uh-oh. There is a friend in Africa who actually on in Senegal telling me that she is on Skype.
Well, let's do it.
And voodoo is a belief of the Haitian. The voodoo, they believe in one God. The voodoo believes that this God is too far remote and too far away. It's too remote and too far away from human life for them. So instead of seeking help from God directly, spirits act as intermediaries. And the spirits known as Loa, they have various characteristics. So we can call, if I can switch from spirit or Loa, so I think you can understand when I switch it, spirit or Loa. And then I think one of you mentioned that sometimes the spirit are mounted by people. And then here, we don't use the word possess, because it's mean two different things in the voodoo. We said mounted by people. Now let's us actually be realistic where the roots of voodoo came from, because as you know, now that our history, Haitian, we were not really African. It was Indian, but we don't have any trace of Indian, Taino Indian anymore in Haiti. So now we claim to be African because our ancestors are from Africa. So the roots of the voodoo came from Africa. When all the Africans came from different tribes, from different, from their languages, different ethnicity in West Africa, and then they brought with them the religion, which at the time was voodoo. So voodoo is not from a single, but several African traditions and cultures all over West Africa. So what I want you to understand, when you look at that, look what it says. Voodoo is not a single, but several African traditions and cultures also. So now you have a hint what voodoo is all about. It's tradition and cultures. So it's not only the evil, you know, that everybody thought it is. I wish when you pass that door, you will have another perspective on voodoo, and you understand me as Haitian or other Haitian who are here differently. So in the voodoo, we have a different aspect. Let's explore some of them. The key aspect of voodoo is healing. We believe in this a lot. And this is where all the plants, why all the plants are very important for us. Maybe you would think that no, because we cut a lot. Yes, we did. Because of survival. But we believe in trees. We believe in plants. Because every plant, every tree is very significant for us in the voodoo religion. So the healing part, the aspect of the healing, it's constituted actually 60% of all voodoo activity. And the healers heal with herbs, faith healing, with the help of the Loa spirit, if you wish, and the Western medicine. So the healing part of the Haitian voodoo doesn't rely only on the leaves and on the Loa, but they actually rely on the Western medicine also, because we believe that, you know, we can help people with that, with the Western medicine also. Now the central feature of voodoo is the service. You know, the service is like, you know, in the, if you wish, and Lutheran, because I think I am Lutheran, so I can say that, you know, when you have a service every Sunday morning, this is the kind of service that the voodoo has. And so it is usually held outside. We use a lot of drums and singing also. And then the service is fully participatory. So anybody can come. You don't have to be a believer, or you don't have to be a practitioner if you want to be in the service. I think it's the same for any religion. Anybody can walk in the church and then participate with the Christian worshiping there. So now, that is maybe sometime you ask the question about why some saints are present in the voodoo. In the Catholic religion, you know, every saint in the Catholic is related to your Oloa, or spirit in the voodoo. So why is that? The reason why, we're going to go back to the slavery time when the Spanish and the French want to evangelize the African. So, because they forced them to go to church. So they went to church because also they are not allowed to practice their religion. To fool the masters, they used the saint in the Catholic to worship their own spirit or Oloa. Or that's what they do. We will go to a compound of the slave. You will see a lot of saints. But each saint actually is a Loa in the voodoo religion. Because first of all, the slaves were forced to practice the religion of the masters, which is Catholic, so some ritual and symbols became central to the practice of voodoo. For example, altars in the homes of worshippers look very familiar to Catholics. And also, 7 years ago, when I lived in California, I've met a friend. She's from India. She's Hindu. And I went to her house. I saw altar. I'm like, that reminds me of Haitian voodoo. So we have some similarity with Hindu also. Because in there, they have their god. I would say Maloa. And then they put food. And then they have liquor for them. This is exactly what they do in the voodoo religion also. And I don't think we'll have time, but whenever you see me, you want to have more information about that, I can give it to you.
Is the incense included
in the practice? Yes. Yeah. So the evangelization of the slaves resulted in the syncretism between Catholicism and African religious practice. This is a guy called Moses Semeri that I was forced to study when I was in high school. At this time, I didn't like it because it was too much to learn. But now, I'm so happy that I was forced to learn that. Now I can share what I've learned with you. Some Catholic elements were introduced also in the practice of voodoo, so we will see some of them now. Okay, for example, the wafer. They use it a lot. And then the African actually, doing the savory, would only eat the wafer when they are ill, because they think that wafer will actually cure them from their illness. And then they still use it in the Catholic, in the voodoo religion, when there's a ceremony or a kind of healing ceremony they are doing to heal somebody. And also the holy water. What they would do, they would carry the holy water after the mass in little calabashes and drink some drops when they rise in the morning and pretend that it will guarantee their welfare against all the witchcraft that might befall them. Since we always think that the witchcraft is a part of the voodoo, so, excuse me, the real worshippers and practitioners of voodoo are actually afraid of witchcraft. So it's not always about witchcraft, actually, in the voodoo religion. And the scent that I share with you were part of the voodoo. And then the scents are huge in the voodoo religion. And this is, the scents are actually the spirit that they think in the voodoo religion are intermediary that will talk to God with them for whatever happened. Because for them, they can see the scent, but they cannot see God. So they need something or somebody to talk with God for them in their behalf.
I'm not real.
Don't worry, just talk.
But did they carry the same characteristics the Catholics place with the saints? There's a saint for fishermen. Did that go into the voodoo practice with the same characteristics of that Ewa? Would what you know was the spirit that the fishermen would use?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. For example, I like that example, which is St. Patrick. You know the saint, St. Patrick, is a guy, and then there's a lot of snakes. But what is this in the voodoo religion? St. Patrick is the loa that they call Dambala. Dambala, in the foreign language, means snake. So this is the snake spirit, or the snake loa. So when somebody is actually mounted by that loa or by that spirit, they actually go in, on the floor and then do like the snake. That's also one. And also there is Saint, you have to tell me again, in is that St. James? With the guy who has a dagger. He is very powerful, and this loa, this spirit, is a warrior in the voodoo culture. So, you know, like we have in our Bible, when somebody is judging us, and then we look at what psalm we can use for that, mm-hmm. And then this is what this warrior is. It's like, I am having a problem, I need somebody to act on my behalf to fight for me. So that's the role of this law. because he's a fighter, he's a warrior, so you can call upon that spirit to fight for you.
Does Jesus fit in this someplace?
Not at all. It's God. It's God, the spirit, and the practitioners, yes.
Are there a set number of Lua in the canon, or is it always changing, new ones coming? Or is
there's
it
a set.
A finite number?
There's a set. Some people argue there's 101 that we know, actually, that the Vodou religion actually know. But there's more, about 3,000 Lua that we don't know, that we don't use in the religion. But we know there's 101. And we always refer to that as Guinea. Guinea is the country Guinea. So those Lua, for us, the religion is from Guinea. So whenever somebody talked to you and said, I am a Guinea, and I am a Guinea, Guinea mean a lot for the religion. First of all, being a Guinea mean that you are humble, sincere, you have ethic, and you don't do anything to warn anybody else, because you are a true believer. You are a Guinea, a true believer of the Vodou. You don't do anything bad. You don't do anything evil to people. When anybody say I'm a Guinea, I'm from Guinea, and nothing outside can warn you at all, because you believe in the culture, you believe in Vodou. Nothing bad can happen to you because you are from Guinea. Yes.
How many countries is Vodou practiced in? Do you know?
I would not call it Vodou, because I would tell you it is only in Haiti. But they call it different name in other places.
Okay.
In Brazil, you know, they call it Santeria, something like that. And they all practice the same, you know, they all have their roots in Africa.
Uh-huh.
But different places in Africa. Some of them are from South Africa. Some of them from Central Africa, you know.
Yeah.
But the Haitian Vodou actually is from West Africa. And then I think we see we have more of Benin and also Nigeria.
Oh.
Yes, Nigeria in the Vodou, what we call Nansham. Nansham mean nations. And then we have so many nations. We have Igbo, we have Nago, and then the Igbo is a tribe in Nigeria. So that's the thing. And I remember Louis went to Nigeria. They think that he was an Igbo, and they took him to an Igbo compound. Everybody looked at him, you are an Igbo, and they give him a very beautiful outfit for the king of Igbo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Question. I assume it's practiced over here at certain places. Do they have like congregations over here as we would know them, or how would that be?
I'll get to that. Hold on to that question. I'll show you what it is. Yes.
I'm just curious how the ancestors fit in with the saints and spirits.
Yes. As Haitian, we believe in ancestors. That's why after the earthquake, but it's still like that, people are so... People feel guilty. The fact that they didn't get to give their dead people a proper burial.
Mm-hmm.
Because for us, ancestors, because those dead people will become our ancestors. And we believe that if we don't give them a proper burial, and then all the bad thing would happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's our belief. It's not because that's why people sometimes think that this is where the zombie thing actually came from. It's because we believe in our ancestors. We believe in reincarnation also. And then when those people reincarnate, they are the one who become the spirit or the Lua also. Yes.
I work with survivors of war.
and very often, and many, most of the ones right now are from Africa. That is an issue that I've always, how if you do not have a proper burial, and you don't in war, is there a way through the concept of Voodooism that you can bring rest to the souls of people whom you've not, first of all, had the opportunity to grieve, and secondly, to bury? Are there retroactive ways in which people do that?
Go back.
What we think in Haiti is whenever you don't, our ancestors don't get a proper burial, is we think that your spirit or your soul is wandering.
Yeah.
And it is a bad thing for us and for you also because you're not rested.
Right.
There is thing that they can do. I will honestly, I am not gonna go there because it's not my purpose here. And I need to be an anthropologist, and then you need to know more about the voodoo, which I don't want to do because I don't know more about it, because there's things that they can do to bring the soul back to rest. There's thing they can do, yes, in the voodoo, but it's a mystic thing. You know what I mean? There, you know, there's in any religion there's the mystic part of it, and since I am not an initiate, because I cannot tell you more about it, because those things you need to be initiate to know it. Yes, there's that thing too.
Is voodoo in Dominican Republic?
Yes, it is. Not as much as it is in Haiti, actually. Not as much as it is practiced in Haiti. Yes, the Dominican Republic do voodoo too. Yes.
But the East African countries too, you said pure voodoo sounds like it's being practiced in Haiti, not in the Dominican Republic, you know, and the other variations in other countries, but where it came from, East Africa, West Africa. So are they also practicing
yes,
voodoo?
Yes, they do.
In Benin,
yes. Uh-huh. In Senegal, yes,
okay.
Where I lived for 4 years. And in Nigeria, yes, they do.
Okay.
They do. I don't know why people don't talk about it, but they do practice it.
But each country then may weave its own traditions with the colonial religion. For instance, Haiti's mainly Catholic, and a lot of the saints and the theology permeates the voodoo and vice versa. So in West Africa, voodoo is going to look much different. Of course, that's the home country, but in each country it's going to look different. Is that correct?
Yes, it is correct, because as you can see, the reason that the voodoo is practiced the way it is in Haiti is because the slaves were not allowed to actually practice their religion. And when you go to rest, for example, in Senegal, where French were, they didn't do that. When you go to Nigeria doesn't have the same history as Haitian. There is no problem there for them to practice their religion. Because, first of all, this is their land in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. They are not displaced people. But the slaves in Haiti were displaced. They were taken from their land. They are taken from their family. They were taken from their environment, the thing that they used to. And then they brought them here. And then they had to survive. They need something to survive, to remind them of the place that they came from. And that's the reason that I think the voodoo is very powerful in Haiti. Because, as you heard about it, the African slave actually used voodoo as their weapon against anything. Against anything. First of all, against the atrocities that they were that the French were doing to them. they used it against them because they didn't have weapon like that. They have to survive. And then they use it for our independence. And I've heard, I have no clue about it, I've heard that they use it. That's why the Americans believe, they say that we are very evil. And when America actually, United States actually invaded Haiti, the first invasion, they stayed for so long they didn't want to go back. They used the voodoo against them also, for them to leave. You see? But when you, most of the writers actually, they wrote about this side of the story, they left out the side where the French, the masters, were very cruel to the slave. And then the writer of the Black Jacobins actually does justice to the African people, to the slave, by saying the way it was. It says, yes, the Haitian did this and that at that time. The African did this and that. But the French people, the masters, actually were more cruel because they came to a place that, first of all, wasn't theirs. And then they went to make their own laws. And then they brought people from other places. What do you want them to do? Yes.
How does the Catholic Church in Haiti, or how do they respond to the idea of voodoo? Do they sort of bring that tradition into their services? Or what do they think about it?
You know, now they actually try to, because they were, you know, a long time ago, they realized that if they don't incorporate some of the drum, some of the songs in the church, they will be in conflict, because the Catholic and the voodoo have always been in conflict, you know, since the Spanish were there. So now they realize that if they don't do it, because through history, so many things happened, because the Catholic and the missionaries, the priests actually, and I don't have the date exactly in my head, they destroyed all the temples. And then they destroyed, that's why we don't have this kind of things anymore in our culture. We used to have in Haiti the drum that actually, the African actually came from Africa with them. I think if you were in one of Bill's, maybe he said that last week, there's a drum called Asoto. The Asoto is a very, very, very tall drum. It was the original one. So in some of the place, peristyle, we had Asoto. But because of this conflict between the Catholic and the voodoo, with the government, also depending on what side your government take. If the government take the side of the Catholic, so the voodoo is in trouble. So they actually had a conflict, and then they burned everything in every voodoo temple they could get. But now they realize, I think they did it 4 times. Now they are going to be the loser. They have to work together with the voodoo. But that doesn't mean they have good relationship. But in the Catholic Church now, they start to introduce, not the stuff, they've been doing it for a long time, the drum, and then you can go to a Catholic church now, you hear about the drum and the way, they dance also in the Catholic, and that's what they do now.
So people would perhaps go to Mass with the priest, but then if they need some kind of healing or some kind of help, they would go to a voodoo practitioner?
That's why we are 100% voodoo.
Okay.
Yes? Yes.
Mitch, can you talk about your own experience with the practice?
As Haitian?
Yeah.
Okay, I can tell you. I grew up, I grew up without a father. I grew up with my mom. And my mom, we have 2 kids. She has actually 2. My brother, who is older than I am, is 16 years older than I am. So I went to an Episcopal school, a mission school in Haiti, first of all because it was less expensive than the Catholic school. And my mom couldn't afford any other school, so she sent me to that school. So when I turned 5, I told my mom that I want to be a member of the Episcopal Church. And she said, no problem. So she would take me every Sunday to school. But what happened in this school, that's, for me, it's my model, this school. I like it the way that it was. What happened in this school, they actually acknowledge Voodoo as a culture. Not as a religion, but as a culture. Because the Voodoo is first a religion, it is a culture also. They acknowledge it as a culture. So I grew up them seeing in the school. So that's my experience with it. And my mom also grew up dancing. So she would teach me the thing that I don't know. She would also, our storytelling is part of our culture also. In the Voodoo religion, we have a lot of story. So she would, you know, help me with the story, all this kind of thing. This is my experience with it. But I know, because I as an Haitian, I know Voodoo as a religion. I know this thing that, not I believe in what is happening in Voodoo, but I know they are existed. I know. And being a Haitian, I was healed by leaves also. When I have a fever, there is leaves you have to boil, make tea, and then you drink. First of all, this is our way of getting Western, not Western medicine, but of getting care, because we didn't have money, we didn't have health, we still don't have healthcare system in Haiti, so that was our healthcare system. And I still believe in it because I use it for my kids too, because when my kids have fever, I don't take him directly to the doctor right away. So I have to wait when I give you the tea to see after it. 3 days, if the fever is still there, I know, I need to take you to the doctor. So that's my experience with Voodoo. Yes?
In the video, the girl appears to be dead for 3 days. If a doctor were to come and check that girl, would he also agree she's dead?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. But as you can see in the video, she wasn't.
Yeah.
She was mounted by spirit.
Like her heart stopped?
No pulse?
Pulse.
No pulse?
No. It's so hard to explain, but it's happened.
Yeah.
Because I witnessed people who were mounted by Loa several times in my life. Several times in my life, you know. And for example, when somebody's mounted by a lawyer spirit, if it's a female, and then if the spirit is a male spirit, now the voice of that person actually change to a male voice. And to tell, you know, the law, some of the law are there to tell you exactly what is happening in your family. If you're going to make a decision, they will tell you sometimes, this is not a good one, or this is a good one, or this is the way that you should do it.
So
yes.
The resurrection of his daughter was, she was being reincarnated?
Kind of, yes.
Kind of.
Yes. But she wasn't dead.
Yeah.
She was still alive. It's very mystery.
Yeah.
I don't even understand it.
Yeah.
But because I know it, I'm used to it, I've seen it several times, it's normal for me, it's happened. Yes.
But to become a priestess or a priest, that process happens. It's like they're
chosen. You have to
by
go.
The
it's more than that. It's way more than that one. Because this is, she was not gonna be, she was not gonna be only a priestess, because this is different from when you were claimed by a spirit. She was claimed by that spirit to be a priestess. She and because when you were claimed by a spirit, the spirit can tell you, can show you how to do it. But sometimes, some people want to be a priestess or priest or voodoo without being claimed by a spirit. There is another way, another kind of initiation you go through.
Okay. So you can...
Don't ask me anything about the initiation. I don't know. But I know you have to go through that.
Yeah.
You said that she had no pulse for 3 days. Or the woman in the video.
Yes.
If your son does not... If his fever does not go away for... You go to Western medicine and... If a person was claimed by a spirit and there wasn't any kind of intervention, then they don't come back to the... I'm trying to be too logical.
I know. There's no logic in this thing.
How do you really know?
Because you're going to get lost.
If you are really dead, I mean, that you're not going to come back, do you wait to make that pronouncement? If you found no pulse, would you wait to see if that person were to return?
I understand what you said, but I have never witnessed that somebody who is possessed by Allah were actually dead, unless you're sick. She was not sick. She was claimed by Allah, and most of the time it's happened to you if you don't want to be that person.
That was her story.
That was her story. She didn't want to. She didn't want to. Because they said in the voodoo religion, Alua is like a butterfly. A butterfly actually land in any kind of plant they want to. So she was the plant, and then Alua is the butterfly. So the Alua actually chooses her to be the servant. You have to serve that Alua. If you're a believer, you should accept it. If you're not, this is if you don't want to, this is what happened to you. The thing is, if you believe, if you're a practitioner.
And then there's further initiation and training.
Yes, if you want to continue in that path. So, to finish with this, voodoo is not an organized religion. It does not have the kind of institutional structure that our American are used to. For example, we're Lutheran, Methodist, whatever we are here. We have no bishops. We have no church council, and there is no book on voodoo. Like Christian, we have Bible, so there is no book on voodoo. And now, because the voodoo was always practiced in secret, now in Haiti they are trying to have an organization with all the voodoo priests together. So if you go to Haiti, you want to know more about it, there's places you can go. And then a priest will tell you what they know about it. They will not go into detail because some of the details are for initiated people, but they will try to tell you more about it. Yes?
If there's no book on it, how do people know exactly what to do?
From person to person? Mouth. Words. It's like some story that passed it on to people, you know, by talking, by telling people.
By this.
Excuse me?
By this.
By this, exactly. By this. Now we have more people, or more writers that write about it. And some of them try to be fair, and some of them not. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you have to be careful if you're looking for books about voodoo, and to look for the right one. Sometimes they mislead people. Sometimes they confuse you more. You're more confused about it. But I know voodoo is a very complex subject. Especially for Westerners, and even for Haitian it is too, if you're not initiated, if you're not a practitioner, if you're not a believer. But being a Haitian, I know it does exist. I know the religion actually, and I know voodoo is a culture. So you will see the tracing of voodoo in my behavior sometimes, because I dance and I sing.
And it sounds like it does more good than bad. There's some aspects that are a little scary, but it does more good than bad.
Right? Yeah, let's be honest. In every religion, there's a bad and a good. In everything, even in ourselves, within ourselves, we have bad and good. Like we on the Bible study this morning, when we judge people, you know? And then when we put God in a box, when we want God to act the way that we want it to be, we being bad. Yeah, so I think it is for everything. The bad, there is bad in the religion also. But it's another subject at any time. It's over. Sometimes, you know, some priests actually, they call them serve with two hands. The right and the left. The right is good, the left is bad. But in the religion, in the voodoo, we don't say bad. We don't say some of the spirit are stronger than the other. Depending on how you use it. Depending on how you use the Bible also. What is it written in it?
Oh,
that's
nice.
Good point.
The other night you talked about twins and what a game is. And I'm wondering if you're
going to I'm glad that you bring that up. If you want to stay, I can tell you about the Maasa. Okay. In the voodoo, it's a spirit called Maasa. And the Maasa is they use it more often, you know, Maasa twins, you know, when you have kids, and it's for, you're going to tell me the word, actually, when somebody cannot have kids, what do you call that?
Infertile.
So it's for
barren.
Fertile people. So Maasa, if you want to have kids, you claim, you look for that spirit, which is Maasa. And also, Maasa in the voodoo culture is very powerful because it's two, you know, it's two from one womb, actually. So that's make the Maasa powerful. And everyone in Haiti, every mother would love to have a Maasa. Even me, I remember when I was, when I got married, I always wanted to have twins because they are so cute. And then it's, in our culture, it's power for the mother, actually, for the parents. So when Aristide actually bring the other guy, Préval, saying that this is my twin brother, it to show you how powerful his party is, how powerful it is. So we got the power for everything, so you're going to follow us. So because we believe in Maasa, we believe in twin, so people will vote for him. That's what he used. Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
I'm curious, how do you understand the power of Christ in comparison to the power of the evil?
In comparison to the power of what?
Of the spirits.
For me, there's no question. There is no question between the power of Christ and the spirit which is in the middle, because as a Christian, I believe in the let me look for the word. I understand the death of Christ for all human beings. And that's what sometimes is a very good contradiction for Haitian and Christian. When you're Haitian Christian, And then you were raised in Haiti. So you have to be able to make the difference between the loi that is between that is using as intermediary to talk to God and the cross of Jesus for us. So for me it is a powerful act of love for us and then it is because God is very gracious to us that he actually sent his son, Jesus, to die for us. First of all, he took the human form to relate to us, you know, to understand our heart, to understand what our behavior, and also to to be a babe, you know, first of all, in the womb of his mom, you know, to be a teenager, to be a baby, a teenager. But the only thing that I know Jesus was that he wasn't a sinner like we are. That for me, that's the difference between the law and I don't think I can make any difference in comparison with the spirit, the Haitian in the law and Jesus. For me, there is no comparison. It's the way that I understand each one of them. And then, what is my belief? And my belief, because I was not raised as a believer of Vodou, at five, I was Episcopal, so I believed in the death of Jesus for us, and that's actually shaped the kind of person that I am now. And if we think about Jesus as that's, I still try to understand that as the liberator of people. If I can go, I would like to know more about it, to understand more that side of Jesus, so I can help my people in Haiti. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.